Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Ladies and gentlemen, today with me, I have Ian Anderson Gray. He is a founder of Seriously Social and an expert in Facebook Live. I bet there's more things you can do, Ian, but let's just keep it to those two for now.
That's fine, yeah.
Let's go into Facebook Live. I know I see a lot of people using it, and I know my listeners too, but I've never done it myself, and it seems like you're doing well with it. So let's go into it, how you view it, what works, what doesn't.
Yeah, well, Facebook Live is an amazing tool. It gives you that ability to get in front of your audience, and they have access to you. They can ask you questions. It's absolutely fantastic for building that engagement, which in the light of the new algorithm changes for Facebook is a great thing. I mean, Facebook is giving a lot more weight to comments and engagement on your posts. So that is great. And Facebook Live in general gives, according to Facebook, at least 20 to 25% more engagement. So that's a good thing too. And it also, you know, gets your face in front of your audience, and is also an easy way, once you get over the barriers, which we can talk about, there are quite a few barriers with live video. Once you get over that, it's quite an easy way to produce content, which you can then repurpose for other platforms.
Let's go into the barriers then. Are you strictly talking about the equipment and the tools or other things too?
Yeah, well, this, in my experience, speaking with quite a few people about this, whether that's clients or other people, there are three main barriers. There's what I call there's the fear. So that's the fear of getting in front of the camera. That could be confidence. There's that. And then there's the gear or the tools. There's the technology side of things. And then the third barrier is really the content. What are you going to share on your live video? So it's coming up with the content. And in my experience, actually, a lot of those issues are excuses for being really afraid of getting in front of the camera. You know, I think we can come up with maybe your backdrop isn't right, or you haven't got the right tools. And quite often that is a bit of procrastination, because ultimately a lot of people are really afraid of getting in front of the camera and making a mistake, or people, something will go wrong on the live video. So those are the three main barriers. And that's what I help my clients with. And through my website, I help people with those three barriers so that they can just get on with producing live video.
What tools do you recommend for someone that's starting out? Just a phone and a lav mic or something else?
Yeah, absolutely. Start small, start simple. So use your phone. As long as you've got a relatively recent iPhone or an Android phone, then you're good to go. So you need that. But the other thing that you need is a decent internet connection, particularly the upload speed is important. So for Facebook Live, you need at least 4 megabits or 5 megabits per second upload. And what I recommend that you do is just download an app called speedtest.net. And just before you go live each time, just check that you have got enough upload speed, because if you don't, you're going to cause problems. People aren't going to be able to see or hear you. Now, if you want to take things to the next level, the next thing that I would recommend is a lapel mic, something like the Rode Lavalier Plus microphone that you can plug straight into your phone. And that's going to give a much better quality audio so people can hear you. And other things you can look at, there are things like improving the lighting. There are lenses you can add to your smartphone. And that's where I'd start. It's a lot easier than going on to the next stage, which is looking at broadcasting from your desktop. And that's what I do now, but I started off broadcasting from my phone.
you know, when I think about Facebook Live, it's just an addition to all the work we have to do, right? So we need to blog, we need to maybe create podcasts, we have to create educational videos. This is just another thing to make. So how do you think it fits in? Like, how would you explain it to a regular business person that just maybe doesn't see a need for it, or just would like to do it but doesn't see how it fits into the overall content strategy?
That's a great question, because I think we can all feel overwhelmed with all the amount of content that we need to produce. And you mentioned blogging, there's podcasting, you know, and Facebook Live, it's yet one other thing to think about. I am a massive fan of blogging. I mean, content marketing has changed my life. But when it comes to producing that content, it can take a long time. With live video, the great thing about live video is once you've sorted out the tech and you get in front of your phone or your computer, it's a very quick way of producing content. You can, for example, you could share 3 points from a blog post that you've written, or maybe you haven't even written that blog post yet, and you're just sharing 4 or 5 points. You do the live video, and then you can repurpose that for later. So from that live video, that one piece of content, you can then make a blog post. You could, for example, you could get that live video transcribed using a service like rev.com and make it into a blog post. Or you could put it onto YouTube, you've got a video, or you could extract the audio and you've got a podcast. So from that one piece of content, you can save a huge amount of time and produce loads of different content relatively easily. And that's something I do myself, and I work with my clients to do that as well, because it's a really, really easy way of producing lots of content.
So what does that workflow look like? So you mentioned, let's say, filming a Facebook Live, then going to rev.com, which I do use sometimes too. And then who creates that content for you, and how do you structure it differently for a blog post? Or does someone do it for you? Do you instruct them?
Yeah, so it depends on what you're wanting to do. If you're wanting to keep things really, really easy, and I suppose this is the lazy way of doing it, you could use a service such as repurpose.io to take that content and push to a podcast or push to YouTube. But in this case, what I'm talking about is download the video from Facebook once you've done it, and then you can upload that to rev.com. Now, at rev.com, you can get them to do two things for you. You can ask them to transcribe the whole video as a text file. You then download that and then put that onto the blog and embed the video onto it that way. But you can also download, ask them to produce a closed captions file as well. So you can then download that and you've got closed captions for your Facebook Live video, which is great for people who watch with the sound down. A lot of people will watch your video to begin with the sound down silently. And so you can encourage them to watch the video by giving them the closed captions at the beginning. So once you've added it onto your blog post, it's just a case of obviously editing that into a normal blog post. So you'll want to put headings on there and make it look pretty. But it's a very quick and easy way of producing content that way.
Do you have a formula that you use for each video? Like, for example, when we create Facebook ads or YouTube ads, we have a formula, right? Like, this is these are the things that need to go into it to make it successful. Do you have something like that for Facebook?
Yes, I do. So it depends on the kind of video that you're wanting to do. So there are lots of different types of live videos you can produce. For example, you could give a behind the scenes live video. So that is if you work, if you've got an office or you've got a shop, or you could give behind the scenes content. But for a live show, what I recommend is the following. The first thing that I recommend is to welcome your replay viewers first, because these are the people, your live viewers won't have joined yet. You're going to be greeting the people who will be watching in the future. So welcome them first. And so what I would say is, hello, thank you so much for watching the replay of, and then name the show. The second thing is to get straight into what you're talking about. So give people a quick description of what you're going to talk about so you can hook them in. Then it's a case of welcoming your live viewers as they come in. People love to have their names shouted out on live on the show. So welcome people as they come into the show. But don't spend too long on that, because that's going to be very boring for the replay viewers. And if you're going to repurpose that for a podcast for later, that can, again, be very boring. So at this point, it's important to get straight into the content. And I recommend sharing about 3 or 4 points from whatever the content is that you're producing. Now, if you're getting lots of live viewers watching you, it'll be very tempting to want to follow those live comments and respond to them immediately. My recommendation is don't do that yet. You tell people that you're going to get back to them after the main content. Then it's a case of responding to those live comments and even bringing people live on screen with you. And then the final section is to summarize what you've just talked about and then give them a call to action. What are you wanting? What's the one thing that you want people to do once they leave the live video? And just before you go, you need to tell them when you're going to be live next. You want to create that consistency. You want to teach people when you're going to be going live on a regular basis. And then it's a case of ending the broadcast. Now, you could say that's it, but I'm a big fan of turning your live video into a piece of evergreen content. So you want to keep going back to the comments and responding to those and welcome the people who are watching later, the replay viewers. And of course, you can repurpose the content for later using other platforms such as blogs and podcasts.
Great. Now that I'm looking at your website, I see a couple stats which are super interesting too. So you have almost 300,000 monthly visitors, 50,000 Twitter followers, and 20,000 email subscribers. So what would you say gets you the best ROI for each one of these, right? So what's the one thing that brings the most monthly visitors? What's the one thing that gets you the most followers? And how do you get these people to subscribe?
That's a really tough one, because I do lots of different things. So, for example, my blog is probably brought in the bulk of visitors to my website through search engine. People searching on the likes of Google for Facebook Live or social media management tools, and that's how they find me. But then in terms of them coming back to my website and those repeat viewers, it's through Twitter, it's through Facebook Live, and it's those interactions that get me the people on my list, on my mailing list. And that's ultimately what I want people to do. I want people to come to my website and then to keep coming back. And so the likes of Facebook Live and my interactions on Facebook and Twitter, that's what brings me the subscribers to my mailing list. And ultimately, that's where I'm able to sell my products, such as my courses. So that's the way I work.
So on your Twitter, what is that strategy like? How do you approach interactions with the people to get them to repeat? And then what kind of calls to actions do you use to get them on the email list?
So on Twitter, I have quite a few different strategies that I use. I share a lot of other people's content. It's not just my own, because I want to build relationships with other people out there. So I'm constantly sharing content that's related to my field, whether it's something to do with social media tools or live video. So I'm wanting to constantly offer value to my target audience, but also build those relationships with my peers in the industry. And as well as that, I also share a lot of my own content on a regular basis, not just sharing the title and the image, but I will also share different aspects of my blog posts and offer some value that way. So the reason for that is I'm getting people over to my blog, and then people can subscribe to my list through my blog. So it seems it's kind of odd in a way, because what I'm doing is I'm getting people to come to my blog through maybe they've searched on Google, but then I'm interacting with them through Twitter, and it's through those secondary and the repeated views on my on Twitter and other networks that they then come back to my website and then subscribe.
Do you have any giveaways that work to get email subscribers, or how do you do that?
Yeah, now this is something that at the moment I've actually creating some new ones, because my business has actually changed a lot in the last 6 months. But what was working before really well was a download. It was a guide for, I think it was over 20 must-have social media tools. And so people could download that and they would automatically get added to my list. But I'm changing that now because my focus is now mainly on live video and helping people with their confidence and with the technology side of things. So in the middle of creating three different guides that people can download, either to do with whether their barrier to live video is the confidence, or their barrier to live video is the technology, or their barrier to live video is creating the content. So people will be able to download one of those guides, and then I will know which one of those barriers people have by putting them on or tagging them in a particular way on my list. So I'll either be able to tag them that their issue is with confidence, or their issue is with technology, or their issue is with the content side of things. And then I'll be able to produce content on my mailing list to help them through those barriers.
You know, when I was little and I wanted to learn how to swim, my dad took me out on a pier. He pushed me into the water on the deep side and said, swim that way. And, you know, that built up confidence. How do you do that with Facebook Live? Do you just throw them in the water like that too? Or what's your strategy?
Well, yeah, I think people would hate me if I did that. But yes, in one sense, that's what people need to do. But I think to begin with, some people need to have those little steps. They need a little bit of handholding. So there's a few things that I would recommend. If you struggle with getting in front of the camera, then a great way to start is with Instagram stories or Facebook stories. It sounds a little bit odd, but the reason for this is because you are sharing, you're putting yourself in front of the camera for only 15 seconds or 30 seconds, and you're doing that consistently every single day. And the great thing about Instagram stories is that they disappear after 24 hours. So I think that's a great way to build your confidence and also build consistency, because you know that what's the worst that's going to happen. You know, people are going to, the video is going to disappear after 24 hours. The second thing that you can do is to go live to Facebook and go live to your profile on Facebook, but change the privacy settings to only me. The advantage with that is that no one is going to see you. So you're just testing it. And I did this a huge amount of times at the beginning. When I was trying to sort out all the tech, I would go live just to myself and then watch it back afterwards and make sure that everything was working. And then the final thing that I highly recommend that people do is to join an accountability group or to join a challenge, a Facebook Live challenge. And the way this works is you can do it yourself. You can create a Facebook group with a number of other people who want to try and go live. And you say to each other, we're going to go live every single day for the next 7 days, 10 days, or even 30 days. So you're committed to going live in the group. I would recommend a closed group. The only people that are going to see your video are within the group. And it's a way of you giving positive feedback and encouragement and building that confidence and that consistency over that period of time. So that's the other thing I would definitely recommend.
You know, if someone's listening to it right now and saying, you know, all of this makes sense. Like I'm seeing the picture. I can see why I should maybe do it, but is it going to work for me? Like, what can I expect from doing Facebook Lives on top of all my other work? Like, what would you say to someone that's just sort of on the edge right now and thinking like, do I invest my time into it?
That's a really important question to ask yourself, because at the end of the day, it may not be the right thing for you. I'm not standing here and saying that Facebook Live is the silver bullet that's going to solve everyone's problem. But, you know, where is your audience? Is your audience mainly on Facebook? If it isn't, if you're mainly on LinkedIn, if you're on Twitter, then you may struggle with Facebook Live. There are ways of getting your audience from LinkedIn or Twitter over to Facebook Live, but you need to think a little bit more deeply about your strategy there. But if your audience is on Facebook and you do have an audience that wants to know more about your product, that wants to know more about you, then Facebook Live is perfect because it gets you in front of the camera. And the fact that it isn't polished, it isn't perfect, is one of the reasons why Facebook Live is so attractive to people. People are getting so kind of almost fed up with the professional videos out there, the slick videos that are not showing the full picture. People want to have a little bit more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Just a genuine view of the businesses they're interacting with. So I would give it a go. What's the worst that could happen? I would say start simply, just broadcast from your smartphone and try it out. Be consistent though. Try it out for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks and see what happens. And you may well be surprised. It's not going to require a huge amount of time, effort and money to do that at the beginning, but just give it a go and test it and see what happens.
Yeah, I've struggled when I think of Facebook Live to take it seriously on my end. I've seen people using it in my Facebook feed a little bit, and a lot of it is nonsense, right? It is business people, but it's still nonsense. It's like, okay, I'm going to drop off this new book in the mail or something, or I'm going to show you how I unwrap my award or something, or I will show you how to create a vision board, or just watch me do it. It's stuff where I turn it on for a few seconds and I'm like, this is completely worthless info. And this is sort of why I asked you for your ideas on the type of content you should be putting out, because what I'm seeing, it's like, you know, in Chiang Mai, in Thailand, for a while, everyone wants to be a travel blogger. Why? Well, because that's what everyone's doing. Now everyone's into crypto. Why? Well, everyone's into crypto, right? So it seems like there's not much thought going into these videos that I see, but people are just doing it because it's easy. Yeah, I could turn on my phone right now and say, hey, watch me live as I'm interviewing Ian.
Yeah, well, you could do that.
Which that actually is not a bad idea, now that I thought about that.
Yeah, and I know some people do that. They produce their podcast, but they also do it live, or they'll record the video of it. So I've got mixed views about this. In one sense, I think it's important just to do it and not to think too much about it, because you've just got to do it. You've just got to get over that confidence side of things. But absolutely, you've got to think, what is the strategic value of what you're doing? You know, don't just do impromptu lives all the time and have no idea what you're talking about. Ultimately, you want to give value to your audience. And if you're just waffling on, if you're just talking, if you're just sharing stuff that is not going to be of value to your audience, then you may as well not bother. It's just adding extra noise. But if your audience are asking questions, if they're constantly asking you the same questions, if there is something that you can offer them, then live video is a great way for your audience to be able to interact with you. It could be a how-to guide. So this is something that I often do, is I'll share how I create content or how I use a particular tool, and I'll share that from my desktop. So people will be able to see what I'm doing, and I'll be able to share that with my audience. Or it could be an interview. So I've got a weekly show where I have a co-host, and we sometimes have people that we bring on the show, and we talk to them and ask them questions, and our audience can also get involved as well with that. So I think you've got to think about ways that you can offer value to your audience that is going to be interesting to your audience, and not just share, I don't know, what you're doing on a daily basis. I think the likes of Facebook and Instagram stories are great for that kind of thing. But when it comes to Facebook Live, I think you need to take things to the next level and offer some real value.
I agree completely. You did mention that you sell online courses. I do have a company that helps people create those. And what I've seen is most of online courses don't make any money or fail because people just don't handle their marketing as a business, right? They think, oh, I'm going to create a course and then it'll just sell itself. What are you doing or steps you're taking to make sure that your course does not fail?
Well, I feel a bit of a hypocrite talking about this because I did everything wrong to begin with, if we're going to be truly transparent. But what happened with me is I produced a blog post that went through everything you needed to know about broadcasting to Facebook Live, in this case, from your computer. And because I went into a huge amount of detail and I offered a huge amount of value, that blog post became really, really popular. Now, it didn't give everything. It didn't give all the details about how to do it. And so from that blog post, I was then able to sell a course which went through all the steps on how to do it from a computer. So I gave people pretty much most of what they needed to do, but if they wanted to take things to the next level, they then needed to, they didn't need to, but they could buy my course. And because that blog post did so well, the course I was able to sell that course on the back of that really, really well. And that's gone very, very well for me. And so as well as that, I use social media, I use Facebook ads, and I build relationships with a lot of other people in my space and affiliate schemes as well, so that I'm able to constantly sell those courses on a regular basis.
When you think back of the last maybe 6 to 12 months, have you read any books that really impacted you?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay. There's been loads of books. So there's a book at the moment that I'm reading. It's called The Rise of the Youpreneur by Chris Ducker. And in one sense, it's kind of simple steps to go through, personal, all the personal branding steps if you're a solopreneur or an entrepreneur. So that has been a really, really good book. But loads of other books, such as the Known by Mark Schaefer, is another book that's been made a big impact. And what's the other one? The Big Leap as well by Gay Hendricks. That's although I don't always get along with his style and the way he explains things, just the idea of what he says in The Big Leap has made a big impact on me.
Awesome. Ian, if people want to find you, where could they go?
The best place is my website. If you just go to iag.me and you can find links to all my social profiles. Most of the time I'm at iag.me, which is spelled iag.me, just to confuse people, for example, on Twitter. And do get in contact with me. I'd love to hear from people.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on.
That's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.